Good morning again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we've spent, this is now 3 days before Christmas, and we've spent the last three Sundays, and then including this one will be four Sundays, looking at different names of God that are given to us in the Old Testament that we then see Jesus manifesting or bringing into reality with perfection that then we can receive in our own lives. Now, the three before this Sunday have all come out of direct. I feel like this is really spread out. The three names before this Sunday have all come out of direct circumstances in the Bible. There was Jehovah's there. It's come out of the direct prophecy from Ezekiel about a future place and time. There was the story in Exodus where the people of God were in a battle, and there was those specific circumstances we needed to understand. And then there was the Lord our righteousness, which was coming out of a time when the kings were actually not acting rightly, and they had a wrong definition or thought of what it was to be right before God. And so there's these very specific circumstances that the people of God found themselves in, that then God revealed himself to them in a very specific way out of those circumstances. Today's different. What you've already kind of been clued into is that today the name is Shepherd, and it comes out of a poem. It comes out of not a specific circumstance that we have to understand, but it comes out of an imagery that we need to understand and then apply to all of life, not a specific set of circumstances. So this is quite a bit different than the three names we've already looked at in that respect. And throughout the Bible, there's a number of ways that God uses metaphor or imagery to describe to us who he is, right? This is not an exhaustive list. You probably need to think of some of these things off the top of your own head, but like God is a strong tower. No, he's not literally a strong tower. He's like a strong tower. Or God is a rock. God is a mother hen. God is a morning star. He uses lots of different imagery and illustration to kind of try to convey to us aspects of who we are. He's so big, so mysterious, so infinite. The only way we can start to make sense of him is through these ways of he's like this, that we know and then we can kind of enter into who he actually is. But there's two ways that he talks about himself that seem to stand head and shoulders above all the others. And they're used far more often. The first is that of a father. Right? He talks about himself, refers to himself as a father from beginning to end. And he's like this perfect, good, trustworthy, loving father. He's the best of our best and nothing like the worst of our fathers. And that's how we can understand him. But the other one he uses an awful lot is shepherd. The idea, the imagery of shepherd, the importance of shepherding is all over the pages of the Bible. If you just stop to pause and think about this, the earliest patriarchs of the Israelites, most of them were shepherds of some sort. The greatest Jewish king, David, was a shepherd. The birth of Christ was announced to shepherds. The role of the priest in the Old Testament and the pastors in the New Testament are called shepherds. It's all over the Bible, the importance of shepherding. And I don't know how many times you find in the Psalms, there's several times in the Psalms we're told that he is a shepherd and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. That's not one Psalm. You actually find that in quite a few Psalms, upwards of maybe 10. And this isn't, I think, what Psalm 23 does for us is it moves it just out of the realm of illustration and imagery, but it moves it into the realm of his name, meaning it's revealing an actual piece of his character and nature to us, not just imagery. Right, so the first words of Psalm 23 in its original language are Jehovah Rohi. Right? You're good. Jehovah Rohi. Literally translated, I am shepherd, not the Lord is my shepherd. That's the poetic way that we put around it to kind of make sense of it. But it's I am Yahweh, Jehovah, shepherd. He reveals this name to us in perhaps the most popular piece of scripture known. Right? And I don't find it to be any mistake that a piece of scripture that humans for thousands of years have run to for comfort, right, is a place where God reveals himself and the true nature of who he is in this name. Because it just points to this idea that our souls are most satisfied in him, most comforted by him. So Psalm 23 is where we get this name. I'm going to read the whole of the psalm, but we're not actually going to preach the psalm today. I'll walk through that in a minute. Here's Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Really common, popular piece of scripture. Now, I'm not going to walk through, often when we have a piece of scripture, we preach that piece of scripture. I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to use this poem, rather, to just talk about that idea. It's almost like we're going to introduce ourselves to the name Shepherd out of this poem. Right? And then we're going to talk about that name, Shepherd, more than we're actually going to talk about this psalm. So here's the main idea, and the roadmap will clue you into this main idea, but if you get nothing else out of today, there's really only a couple things I really want you to hear. Right? We are sheep. I want us to start there, that we are sheep. Out of that, I want us to get this idea that we will be shepherded. By default, you will be shepherded. You have no choice. You are a sheep. You will be shepherded. But you have an option to choose who will shepherd you. So I want us to choose the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And have the resolve of our life be the first sentence in that poem. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. Big idea. You're a sheep. You will be shepherded. Choose Jesus to be your shepherd. And we'll work through that through the outline that you see on the screen. It'll be backloaded. I'm not going to spend a whole ton of time on those first two points. I probably actually have already said enough about those first two points, but we'll say a little bit more. And then we'll spend most of our time on the last two points, which is good because it's Jesus' birthday week, so we should focus on him. Elizabeth likes that. She has a birthday month. Jesus gets a birthday week. Talk to Elizabeth about that one. All right. We are sheep. I actually think we have to just pause here for a minute and just hammer this home sometimes for us. We are sheep. Like Gabe, if you remember two Mago retreats, when he came back and spoke, he went around the room and looked at everybody and said, I see the kingdom in you. I see the kingdom in you. Like, you're sheep. You're sheep. Like, sure, I see the kingdom in you, but I also want you to be clear here, you're a sheep. Man. Thank you. The Bible doesn't make any room for anything other than that, who the shepherd is and who the sheep are. People are the sheep. And there's something good about this. There's something that's humbling about this that we just need to lean into, that we just need to own and sometimes be okay with. Sometimes it's good for us to step back and talk about we're special, we're gifted, we're skilled, we're unique, we are our own snowflake, rah, rah, rah. But other times, I think we have to be okay with the fact that we're more universal in our humanity than we are unique. Every single one of us in this room, the sheep, we are the sheep. Simple, stubborn, stupid sheep. And that's okay. That's who we are. Spoiler alert, I did not stay at a Holiday Inn last night, so I don't know a ton about shepherding. But I'm pretty sure not a lot of people in this room do either, so I think it's okay. I grew up in dairy farms, and I stacked hay when I was a kid, so I want to talk about that. I get those images. But I don't know a ton about shepherding, but I think this is pretty straightforward and simple. Comes to my attention that sheep need a shepherd. Like, they need a shepherd. Without a shepherd, a sheep isn't a sheep for very long. It's pretty dead. They absolutely need a shepherd. They don't fare so well on their own. Sheep actually need to be led to where food is. I didn't know this. I read this in a book. I'm assuming it's true. It wasn't on Google, but if it was on Wikipedia, we know it would be true, but it was in a book. But sheep won't actually drink from moving water. So it's not only that they need to be led to water, like they can't just find any water. They need to find still water. Because if it's moving water, like they just kind of lock up and they won't drink from moving water. So the shepherd actually has to create these little channels off of moving water so that the water is still. So like that's how simple they are. And they need to be led to food and to water. They're quite defenseless. They're easy prey. They need protection. In short, I don't know as if we can fully appreciate the weight of this idea of how critical shepherds are to the life of the sheep, because we're not that familiar with the trade of shepherding. I think maybe the thing that gets close to it for us, at least it did for me, was actually thinking of my kids in those early years and how dependent they were on mom and dad for everything. Right? They can't get their own drink. They can't get their own food. We have to make them lie down and go to sleep because they don't think they're tired. Right? Everything the sheep needs, everything the child needs, mom and dad have to get them. And the thing about sheep is they never grow out of that childlike dependence. I'm not sure my kids have it yet either. They have, to some degree. But I want us to take that idea, the weight of that, that we never outgrow that dependence, and apply that to us in a spiritual sense, and that we are sheep, continually in need of a shepherd to feed us, to hydrate us, to protect us, to lead us, to give us rest, to give us a home. All of these things, when the Bible says we are sheep, it's saying this to us. We are utterly dependent upon a shepherd to get any of that stuff for our souls. We cannot find it in ourselves. That's what's being communicated to us. Jesus knew this. This is why in Matthew 9, we're told, we have this little, just almost a passing thought, but in Matthew 9, we're told that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. His heart was broken because he saw his people missed a fundamental need that they had that was not there for his people. So, we're sheep. We're in a constant need for our shepherd, for our souls. And yes, that's a symbol. It's a humbling spiritual reality. But honestly, the older I get, the more I yield to it, and the more I just realize that it's right, that I need this. So, if this is true, that we're sheep, and we need a shepherd for our souls, then let's be in the market for a good shepherd. Let's get us a good one, if that's true. Right? And so that's where I want us to go today in thinking about this. And I don't want just any old shepherd if this is true, and I believe it to be true, and the Bible preaches it to be true. Let's get us a good shepherd. And I think we can start simply and say, what is the primary job of a shepherd? And you can speak back to me. What's the primary job of a shepherd? Keep it real simple.
Take care of the sheep.
Take care of the sheep. Perfect. That's what I had right here. To take care of the sheep. Thank you. Did you read my notes? Okay, good. And that's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. But taking care of the sheep can mean a lot of things. Right? We can impose some thoughts on that. So I want it to mean the right things, though. So I want us to actually allow God, whose name is shepherd, that's what we're honing in on, to actually define what a good shepherd is. Right, so here's Ezekiel 34. There's going to be a bunch of verses here. I'm going to bounce around Ezekiel 34 a little bit. This is an entire chapter where Ezekiel is actually prophesying against the Old Testament priests who were to be the shepherds. And a lot of how we understand what a good shepherd is by his criticism of what they are not. All right? So I'll read through a bunch of this, and then I'll give us a little encapsulation of this. But this is Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, so that's the priests. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds. So he's saying, usually prophetic stuff is given to the mass of people, but he's saying, no, this prophetic word is actually given to the priests. Thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. We'll revisit that little run. With force and harshness you have ruled them, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered, they wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search for them or seek them. Skipping, I think, to verse 11. I hope I got this right on the TV. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flocks when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. So out of Ezekiel 34, right? Psalm 23 tells us that the Lord is shepherd. Ezekiel 34 defines what a good shepherd is from the Lord. And like, if I pull four things out of there, it's feed the sheep, heal the sick and the injured ones, seek out and bring back the strayed and lost ones, or rescue those, and provide them rest in a safe place to belong. That's the role of a good shepherd. Feed, heal, rescue, provide. Caring for the sheep. And I think certainly all that's true, physically speaking, for actual sheep and actual shepherds. But I also want us to like own the fact that that's actually true of our souls as well. Spiritually true for us. That we need a shepherd to feed us and feed us truth. That we need a shepherd to bind us up, to heal our brokenness. To a shepherd to bring us back, because all of us, like sheep, have gone astray, spiritually speaking. And we need a shepherd to create a place to bring us, for us to call home, a place for us to belong and experience peace. That's the green pastures and the still waters of Psalm 23. This is a good shepherd. It's what we should be in the market for. When we're looking for somebody to shepherd our souls, or something to shepherd our souls, can they do all of these things for us? Because that's what our souls need. And this is where we can just sing the merits of Jesus Christ and celebrate him, especially this, his birthday week. Because the other piece that the Ezekiel passage does for us is God defines what a good shepherd is, and then he also says, I myself will be that for you. Because you're not going to find it in among yourselves. So this prophecy from Ezekiel, right, this name, Yahweh Rohi, I am shepherd, out of Psalm 23, this nature of God himself, this would be very familiar, not only just because the shepherding is common, but they would be familiar with these passages, the first century faithful Jew, they would be familiar with all of this. And so when Jesus stands up in John 10 and says, I am the good shepherd, right, he's connecting dots for them. They're waiting for this. They've been waiting for this prophecy from Ezekiel where God says, I will become the shepherd for my people. And Jesus stands up, and we're going to read this in John 10 in just a second. And he stands up and says, I am Yahweh, Jehovah, the good shepherd, Rohi. Like he literally said it, like he's basically proclaiming this for himself. So this is John 10, this is verses 7 to 18. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. He repeats it for us. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. All I have, other than that, I did not put that in right.
And I have.
You guys can read that. I'll just keep going because I can't see it. That's all right. I'll pick up with, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Sorry for the butchering of that scripture in my notes.
It was after 16.
Thanks, bud. But the point being, I think clearly coming out of this, is that Jesus is standing up and he is saying, I am the good shepherd. I am fully living out and bringing to reality what God defined as a shepherd from Ezekiel. Nobody fed the sheep like Jesus fed the sheep. Like we're told throughout the Gospels that when he teaches, people are in awe. Like they're at the authority, the clarity, the pointedness, that he teaches with, but also with the grace and the compassion that he teaches with too. Nobody feeds the sheep with truth, like that core truth that we need, that our soul needs to clamp onto. Nobody feeds sheep truth like Christ. Think about healing the sick and binding the injured. Jesus says, I didn't come for the healthy, but I came for the sick. I came for the sinners. Right? And we see Jesus doing this both in the Gospels. We see physical healing happening all over the Gospels. It was attracting crowds that he was healing people. We still long for this healing even today. We hear rumors of it. We see glimpses of it in passing in some ways. But we have this inner longing and ache for it to be done with someday. And Christ even promises that there will be a day when no more healing is needed because there's no more sickness, there's no more sin, there's no more tears, all of that. That's all true physically, and it's true spiritually with Christ. That he heals broken spirits. He transforms people's lives. And this work he still does today. And I am one who just stands here and saying, if it wasn't for Jesus' presence in my life, man, I think I would just be a selfish, dark sinner. Like, I know I would be. Because it's there even still today. I still fight that. But Christ still does this healing, binding up work. Jesus rescues the lost, brings back the stray. In three parables in Luke, he just nails this home, right? Like, he gives you the parable of if a shepherd has 100 sheep and he has 99 are there, but one is lost, does not the good shepherd go find that sheep? And that's the mission Jesus is on. Followed up with a parable by the widow who loses a coin and completely turns her house upside down just to find the one coin, even though she has 9 other ones. Right? And then followed up with that is the prodigal father, prodigal son, right? Where the father gives everything for his wayward son. Jesus is hammering home the point of his mission is to seek and save the lost and rescue those, all for the sake of one. And you and I are included in that. And then that last piece of a good shepherd, of that place of rest, that place of belonging, that place of peace. Like, did not Jesus promise to go and prepare a place for us, to bring us home, for us to belong with God, that eternal place of peace and reconciliation and joy? All of these things is why Jesus can stand up and say, I am the good shepherd. It's why in Hebrews we're told that he is the chief or the great shepherd. In 1 Peter we're told he is the great shepherd. Like, this all applies to Jesus, who takes this name out of the Old Testament in Psalm 23 and brings it into reality for us. Which is part of the reason why this Christmas season we wanted to pause and celebrate these names of God. Because without the reality of Jesus, without him coming, we would still be waiting for the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34. Who is that good shepherd? And satisfied, deeply satisfied with all the other things that we may choose. We're sheep. We need a shepherd. And in that, we need to catch this default thing is that even if we don't choose a shepherd, we will be shepherded. Right? We will be. We cannot be complete John Wayans living completely isolated and on our own. So we will be sheep who follow. So we have to step back and just ask the question, what are we following in our lives? Now, I'm not going to spend a ton of time. As I thought about this, the one that just I wanted to like sit with a little bit longer than the other ones is this idea of feeding. Because when I thought about a good shepherd feeding his sheep, like, it just sat with me, this idea of feeding truth to our souls. And man, I don't know if we need this so desperately in our time and culture. Is where are we turning to be fed truth? What are we listening to? What are we watching to feed us truth? And I want us to come to grips with the reality that everything we watch, everything we read, all of it in some way shepherds us. It forms us, every single bit of it. And so I think we have to step back and recognize, and I'm not trying to be overly critical, I'm not trying to be just an old curmudgeon, even though I am old and I can be curmudgeon-y. But do we recognize the amount of shepherding to our souls that happens with YouTube and social media and TV and all of the literature and memes, which are greatly funny, but sometimes I think we lose the depth and reality of truth in all of those things. And we settle for cheap counterfeits. We think we get it because we have a 140 character piece of truth, and we haven't sat with it, owned it, chewed on it, allowed that thing to change us and change our circumstances. I think this is so incredibly important for us to recognize where we get fed our truth, because I think we're just in a point in time where we are inundated with thought, opinion, whatever, information. Like, we're not drinking from a quiet, still stream. We are drinking from a torrent, an ocean of information. And as sheep, I'm not sure we're incredibly good at deciphering that, what's good for us and what's not, what's real and what's not. And we settle for half-truths or no truths at all. And in a culture where we just celebrate and esteem this idea of individualism and we hold onto it so desperately, I think we just need to step back and allow the shepherd to define truth for us. The piece in there where Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." Do we? Do we know his voice? And what I mean by that is, do we know his word? Do we know what he proclaims as truth, as contradictory or maybe even complementary of the culture around us? It can go both ways. Do we know it and celebrate the stuff that's complementary, you know, and push back against the stuff that's contradictory? And like, no, this is my shepherd. This is what is true. I think we need to be sheep who have a posture like Peter that says, "Where else do I go but you? Because you have the words of eternal life. You have eternal truth." I mean, that's probably where I would spend the majority of my time. I think it'd be good for us just to consider in each of our lives. I think sometimes, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I know sometimes I'm believing or owning, living out something that I know isn't quite lining up with a truth that I know to be in the Word or just in Christian. And like, I would encourage us all at this point, where those places are where you don't really want to resign yourself to that idea, that way of living is not right, but I don't want to yet let go of it and say, "The Lord is my shepherd." I'd encourage us all to sit with those moments, wrestle with those pieces of truth. Allow truth to change you. You don't change truth. Right? I need to get off that. Right? That was a lot, not in my notes. The other three pieces I think that are in there about a good shepherd, I think we could probably spend equal amounts of time on, but I won't. But we as sheep will naturally seek out comfort for our pain and healing for our brokenness. But where is it that we run for those things? We often turn many good things into God things, trying to find comfort and healing. We should be running to Jesus. We all seek out as sheep a place to belong. We all seek out this place of rest and peace and joy. We all seek out these secure green pastures and quiet streams for our soul, but we can't actually manufacture those things for us. And sometimes what the shepherd knows is that it's the best time for us now to go through a dark valley, not a green pasture. And are we willing to follow him knowing that he has our best in mind? We are sheep. We're sheep in need of a shepherd. Where we differ from real sheep is that we actually get to choose our shepherd. Our sheepishness is slightly different in that sense, is that we actually get to choose who will shepherd us. And so I just want to have an urge and a plea for us today is choose Christ to be the shepherd of your soul. The one that we listen to for truth. The one that we run to for healing and comfort, the one that we trust has rescued us and secured us, the one that we follow through all things, and we follow home. Because he'll be with us through it all. Like that's the beautiful thing of Psalm 23, is in that whole thing, it's so focused on the shepherd and his presence with his sheep through the entire thing, through the green pastures, through the quiet streams, through the dark valleys, through the dinner in the presence of your enemies, the shepherd is with you through every bit of it. And that's the plea that I want us to just wrestle with and own for our lives is every day, can we just have a posture of our hearts, the perspective of our minds be, I will let him lead me, I will let him guide me, and him care for me. That opening line of Psalm 23 if that could just be the boast of our tongue, day in and day out. Man. And we're good with that. We don't want anything else. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is my shepherd. Let's pray.